Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. This is John Beener listening to Inspiration 316. Hey, very excited you've joined us here. We've got a very special show today. I don't know. God's in the business of bringing us together. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Hey, we need to set aside our differences, right? Christians coming together in unity. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible through the power of God working in people's lives, whether they know him or not. Hey, that's what we're all about, the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's doing in people's lives, again, whether they know him or not. He is working. You know, if you checked in and try to find the bad news, who shot who and all that stuff, you know, that we leave all that to the big media. They're trying to shock you with garbage so that you keep thinking that you're falling apart or the world's falling apart or we're all going to H-E-L-L, you know. It's not going to happen that way. If God is open to you, if you're open to him, he's already working in your life. Now it's a question of, are you open enough to find him? So the theme of today's show, again, Christians coming together in unity. Is it possible? Well, it is possible. Pope Benedict and the head of the Lutheran Church signed an agreement in 1995. Not that many people know about this. It's not really public knowledge. It may have been mentioned in the news at some point in time. Again, a lot's happened since 1995. But the point of it is it's about justification. And if you go to the Vatican website, it says Christ himself is our righteousness in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accordance with the will of the Father. Together, Catholics and Protestants, that meant Lutherans at the time, believe and confess by grace alone in the faith in Christ, saving works, not because of any merit on our part. We are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit healing our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works. The point of it all is that the Catholics are confessing that we are saved by grace and not by works. That's been really what Martin Luther's real protest was, protest standing for Protestants. Obviously, the formation, and today they say there's as many as 53,000 different Protestant denominations. So now you get the Roman Catholic Church, you got the Greek Orthodox Church, and you have other Orthodox churches. But the point of it is God has got a plan, and somehow a man by the name of Tony Palmer, who since passed away through an automobile accident in 2014, shared in front of a group of Protestant pastors led by Kenneth Copeland in Texas, a video that we can all learn from. And it's an incredible story. Let's listen to, this is going to be long. We got a two parts here. We'll have a third part after the intermission. And then we're going to tell you more about other things happening in the world. It's amazing about what God's doing and through people. But let's listen to Bishop Tony Palmer and his story.
Would you welcome Tony Palmer to this platform? Bishop, thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Yes, sir. Amen. Do you have any idea what a thrill it is for me to call you blessed Bishop instead of boy?
I can imagine.
Yeah, because when I first met you, man, I mean, you're just a kid.
I was a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 21 years ago.
Amen. Glory to boy.
I grew up.
Yeah. So did a lot of others of us, you know.
Amen. You stayed the same age.
Did I really?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can see why he gets ahead. You understand? Tony, help yourself, sir.
Thank you, sir.
For giving me this opportunity to spend a couple of moments introducing to you something really, really special and historic. Kenneth asked me if I would give a little bit of background to who I am, our connection, and what we're about to show you tonight. About 22 years ago, I came to faith, a radical conversion experience, and it changed everything about my outlook and my life. And within a year, I found myself in full-time ministry working for the church where I got saved. And I was door knocking, giving the gospel to every single family in our suburb, which was about 3,500 homes. It took me and my wife 8 months to speak to every single person in our suburb about Jesus Christ. And that was 21 years ago. And I remember, I've never told you this, Brother Kenneth, that before we used to go out in the morning to do this evangelization, door knocking, we used to watch this crazy Texan preach the gospel, and we'd never heard anything like this before. Kenneth Copeland, he used to be our encourager every morning to go out and preach the gospel. And that's how I came across the message, the word of faith. By preparing myself every morning to go out and preach the gospel by watching some video VHS tapes. Do you remember those? Back in the 1930s. And we used to get encouraged, and it was amazing the work that we did. That was just the beginning. Then I went into Bible school, got trained for the ministry, and eventually I went into the office in South Africa to ask a friend of mine, Steve Kutsia, who was your South African director at the time, for some building advice. And instead of getting building advice, I got a job. Gloria, good evening. I got a job. I was hired by KCM. And within a year, they asked me to be the director for Africa. That would have been 1998. And I promised John when he interviewed me, I told him straight, I said, John, I'll come and work for you guys, but I'm leaving. I'm going to Italy. And I'm kind of like, I'm not telling you I'm leaving you before I'm joining you, but you got to know I can only stay for a while. So he asked me for 3 years. And I said, fine, unless the Holy Ghost tells me otherwise. That was our covenant. We made that agreement. Well, it was about 2.5 years later, and the Holy Ghost said otherwise. And we were sent out to Italy, where my wife is from. I've been married to Emmy now for 22 years, and it's been a lot of fun. Italian wives are incredibly fun. I say that with a big smile. And it was an incredible time for us because I was born again, spirit-filled, and a evangelical Pentecostal church. Like I said, I came to radical faith. Both me and Emiliana, my wife, we had radical conversion experiences. We'd been raised in the word of faith. We'd worked for Kenneth and Gloria in South Africa. But the call that we got to Italy was the call from Rome. You see, while we were visiting Italy, our family, on an annual basis, and we would share our faith with our family, it was hard for us because when they would get born again, there was nowhere for them to fellowship because the evangelical churches at that time in Italy were incredibly legalistic, where men and women had to sit separate and women had to wear veils on their heads, and you couldn't even go to the beach because it was considered nudity. So as loving, Jesus-loving Christians, we didn't want to send our family to those kind of churches. But then sending them back to the Catholic Church, which is so traditional, that was going to kill their faith. So me and my wife prayed in 1992 in my grandmother's bedroom. Nobody knew about this prayer. We said, Lord, if you want us to leave South Africa, we will leave on one condition, that we come to Italy, but it must be through the Catholic Church. Nobody knew about that prayer. 1992. Well, in 2003, 10 years later, 11 years later, I got a call, an email actually, from Rome saying, Tony, we've seen your ministry and we'd like you to share your ministry with the Roman Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Would you be willing to come to Italy? And there was a clause, you must be self-funded. So I thought, no problem. As Protestants, we've been praying for the Catholic Church for years. So obviously people are going to back me and send me. I sent out my letters for partners. I mean, I worked for Kenneth and Gloria for 3 years. I knew about how partners worked. And Kenneth and Gloria were the first and the only who said, yes, we'll partner with you. And it hasn't stopped since. So the Lord said, what have you got? So that we got a house, we got a car. So we said, that's it. We put our house and our car in the ministry. And we moved to Italy with nothing. no ministry connections, couldn't speak Italian. Some crazy evangelical who'd been called by the Roman Catholic Church to work with them, and we were self-financed except for one partner. Well, that was 10 years ago. And if you do get to know me personally, you'll find out I'm not really a good networker. I don't try to get myself into places. In fact, I prefer to sit at the back, out of the lights, so I can enjoy the service. But God orchestrated so many divine appointments like Joseph. And it excites me because I know what I haven't done to be put in front of the people I found myself. And tonight is a culmination of what's happened in the last 10 years. And we have a very special message. And I wanted you to understand the connection between KCM and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, because the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is the hope of the church, the Catholic Church. I was at a meeting at St. Peter's, I think it was about a year and a half ago. It was Pentecost, celebrating, remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Pope Benedict, there was 450,000 of us outside of St. Peter's singing, "Come Holy Spirit." All Catholics, except a couple of us who, they call us the ecumenical delegation. I remember the first time I actually put on the long telare, it's a long black cassock. You've seen the priests when they wear the cassocks. I had to wear mine, and I didn't know that you had to wear trousers underneath. So I remember, and they because we were honored guests, they put us in the first row, and the Pope was right next to us, and I crossed my legs, and my leg came out. And all the bishops looked at me, and they said, "He's Anglican, don't worry." Funny. So I was really not trying to work the system. Pope Benedict, he said to all the charismatic leaders, charismatic Catholics, publicly, he said this in Italian to them. He said, "You charismatics, you are the hope of the church." Stop. That's only the antipasta. He said, "And you need to evangelize within before you evangelize outside." And when I saw that, I realized that I'd given my life to a good cause, because it wasn't just some political, diplomatic maneuvering of the Catholic Church to try and get us all to become one big thing.
That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Evangelize from within. You charismatics are the hope of the church, the Catholic Church, and you need to evangelize from within, meaning raising the level of intensity and understanding of the Holy Spirit, submission to the Holy Spirit. The Catholic Church, God bless them. They've been great in terms of bringing religion to our world, our society, you know, the hope in Christ, the principles, the stories, the traditions there. You know, they maybe have gone too far on the traditions, as many of us might say, in more charismatic community. But the point is, it's still there. It's still fundamental. It's still what they intended it to be, at least. And hopefully God can and does still use the Catholic Church, obviously. And there's many, I know many Catholics who are charismatic Catholics who are still attend the church every Sunday, and they're religious in their faith in that way. But they are seeking to be led by the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And that's where the whole word charismatic comes in to play, is being led by the Holy Spirit. It's unity with Christ and having the Holy Spirit active in their life. And then finally, the third stage is being led by the Spirit all the time and knowing when you are and having that designation, understanding and wisdom and insight and going to the Lord, drive us when you need to. You know, this is pretty interesting. Again, Tony Palmer unfortunately lost his life in an automobile, a motorcycle accident in Britain just about a year ago. And so this was taped in 2014. Again, the document that I referred to at the beginning of the show is called The Justifications on the Vatican website, 1995, Pope Benedict and the head of the Lutheran Church signed an agreement, basically, which set aside their differences, set aside the fact that the Catholic Church said you're saved by works, whereas Luther said, Martin Luther said, no, the Bible says that we're saved by grace, and that's what he protested on the church doors, and of course, which led to the Protestant movement and the Lutheran Church and the Methodist Church and the Episcopal Church and a Baptist Church, so many other mainline denominations they're oftentimes called. And since then, there's been more, obviously more growth in the charismatic movement ever since the incident in Los Angeles, at least in the United States, had a great impact on that. But God is moving. He is moving around the world. He's drawing us together. He's bringing unity. Again, this is where, again, this document signed in 1995 by the Lutheran Church has been since signed by the Methodist Church, and there's some indications that it has or is going to be signed by the Baptist Church. So the point is God is moving again, trying to bring unity to the Christian movement. And this is where a lot of people say that we're hypocrites as Christians. And we are. Hey, everybody's a hypocrite. That's not a big deal. We all make mistakes. We're all sinners. You know, even if we're saved and committed to Christ, we still make mistakes. So God's got a plan of bringing us together. Let's listen to a second part. We're going to have a third part when we come back from the break with Tony Palmer here. But let's listen to the second part and his involvement to meet the Pope, Pope Francis, who is now pushing this whole thing even further.
About 8 years ago, I was working for the Catholic Church in South America, in Argentina. And it's protocol when we go into a Catholic diocese, we go visit the Catholic bishop and we ask his permission to work among his people. And when I went to Argentina, the bishop that I had to visit at that time was Father Mario Jorge Bergoglio. And he and I struck up a very intimate relationship. I have three spiritual fathers. The man who ordained me a priest, Archbishop Robert Wise, 10 years ago, and then later consecrated me 4 years ago as a bishop. He's my spiritual father. Kenneth Copeland, without a doubt, he received me in South Africa, very much so we connected very quickly, you and I. And Emmy and Gloria, my wife. We had good times, those three victory campaigns in 99. And I remember the day before I was ordained a priest, I came to Brighton to visit you and ask for your permission and your blessing to be a priest. And you prayed for me behind the curtains, behind the stage, before I went off the next morning and became a priest. And the third spiritual father was Mario Jorge Bergoglio. Because you see, my wife, when she saw she could be Catholic and charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted within the Catholic Church, she said that she'd like to reconnect her roots with her Catholic culture. So she did. And so I was working in Italy with the Catholic Church. My wife was a charismatic Catholic. My children were going to Catholic school, so we raised our kids Catholic. Charismatics, Pentecostals, evangelicals. Jesus was all of those, you know. Jesus is sacramental. He instituted the sacraments. He did the things that was required of him in the synagogue. He believed in sign and symbol. He used it all the time in his parables. But he was also evangelical because he said, you have to be born again. It is written. He was also the contemplative. He was also the charismatic. How much of Jesus do you want? Do you only want one denomination of Jesus? Jump in, get it all. So, Father Mario, he took me aside when he heard about my testimony about having this ecumenical family, and he started a friendship with me. We started studying together, meeting more often, to a point where he became one of my mentors. And it was very surprising to me when he emailed me a week before the election of the Pope last year, and he said, Tony, will you please pray for me because they called me into the conclave. Now, conclave is when they choose the Pope, because conclave means with a key, with key, con chiave. That's what it means, with a key. They literally lock the cardinals into the Sistine Chapel until they've made a decision. Conclave. So I was thinking maybe he had to go in there and be one of the cardinals, because he was a cardinal, to pray for the Pope. And I was on the train leaving Rome that day when they announced the Pope. And the Pope was Mario Jorge Bergoglio. My friend, my spiritual father, had become the Pope. Now, you need to be clear, this is not about my story, even though I promised, Kenneth asked me if I'd just connect the dots so you'd understand. This is important for you. It's important for the partners, because you support the work I do. But this is not about my story. This is about his story, his story. Because God is doing something. Now, I walked in after, I'm jumping the gun. Let me just say this, Christmas time. Because my spiritual father, one of my mentors, had become Pope, I'm mature enough to know that my relationship is going to change now. He's got a new job description. I didn't expect to have a friendship like I had before, but I felt blessed that I had that time with him. He imparted many things to me, like all my spiritual fathers have. I got a phone call just after Christmas when I was relaxing with my son, watching a bit of TV. And I grabbed my mobile phone. I said, yes, Tony Palmer speaking. And he says, hello, this is Pope Francis. I thought it was one of my friends. They were looking at me through the window. And I said, Father Mario? He said, yes. So I ran upstairs to my office where there was no noise. And I said, what are you phoning me for? He said, when are you going to be in Rome next? I said, I'll be in Rome next 2 weeks' time. I have to visit one of my congregations. He said, can you come and see me? Yeah, this nobody from South Africa who gives up his house to follow some crazy call from the Catholics ends up getting a phone call at home from the Pope. So I said to him, look, I'll be there on the 13th. He said, no, I'm busy. And this is, I'm not making this up. This is how it was. Emmy was at the door listening to the conversation. And I said, well, I can do the 14th. I can stay one day extra in Rome. He said, let me go get my diary. I heard the phone go on the table. I heard the feet come back. He said, Bishop Tony? He said, yes. He said, 14th's good for me. I'm free. He said to me, what time? I said, you're the Pope, and you're asking me what time? He said, yeah, what time suits you? So I thought, well, 10 o'clock, because I can miss the traffic, because Rome's bad, the traffic. So I said, 10 o'clock will suit me fine. He said, see you at 10 o'clock. So I said to him, Pope Francis, I can't believe that you're phoning me. I don't know how to react to you. I was just being honest. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're the Pope of the Universal Church. 1.2 billion people. And I'm just an everyday clergyman doing his bit for the kingdom. He said, Tony, we cut covenant. We are brothers. He said, nothing will change that friendship. I was blessed. Because all these stories you've heard about Francis, about picking his friends up in his Pope Mobile and taking them and all that, going out to visit people, this, he hasn't changed his spots. So I went last Tuesday, went to see him. We had the morning together, just me and him, the whole morning in his apartment. And I asked him, I said, so what's the agenda? Why did you call me? He said, I have no agenda. There's nothing to discuss. That's a father. That's a mentor. So I started to tell him, you know, I said, I can't believe I'm sitting here. I said, you know how much we can do together? Yes. And we made a covenant to work for unity for the church. And I said, listen, next week, I'm going to Kenneth Copeland Ministries Ministers Conference. And I told him about you. I told him all your crazy stories. I said, there's going to be thousands of leaders, and these guys have their jets. They've got TV shows. And I said, they've got churches of 10,000, 2,000, 20,000. I said, these are big fishes. So he said, so what do you want to do? I said, well, can you please? I told him that about Kenneth and Gloria's partnership with us from day one. And you know, I lost a lot of evangelical friends because they thought I'd betrayed the faith because I was building a kingdom and not an empire. Sorry. And so I said to him, how's about we take, can you give Kenneth a word and give the leaders a word? He said, okay. So I'm waiting for him. And he says, you want to take a message next week to Texas for me? I said, yes, sir. So I said, do you want me to write it down? He said, why don't we make a video? Now, I had in the back of my mind, I had my iPhone, right? I always have my iPhone. I had in the back of my mind to ask him, but I didn't want to be cheeky and break the friendship. I don't want to abuse a friendship. Friendships are sacred. They are gifts from God. You can't use friendships. Let God use your friendship, but you don't use it. And so I was waiting to see if there was like a Holy Spirit opportunity to ask him. But he was the one who asked. He asked, can I make a video?
Okay, we're going to stop right there. We're going to come back at the second half of the show. You don't want to miss this. We're talking with Tony Palmer, is speaking before Kenneth Copeland and many Protestant pastors about the agreement that the Pope has been facilitating to bring the churches together, Catholics and Protestants, in unity. We're fading out of here with Oh Happy Day with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. We'll take a break. We'll be back here soon.
Hi, this is Roger on WTRJ, The Truth, and it's time to fight hunger. The second annual Color Me Fed Race Against Hunger will be happening this weekend, and you can be a part of a race across the bridge through the beautiful Brooklyn area of Jacksonville, and then fight hunger throughout Northeast Florida while having a whole lot of fun at the same time. You can learn more about the hunger fight when you visit WTRJTheTruth.com and click events. More of Inspiration 316 and John Beaner's on its way. Here at listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth.
It's 10 miles an hour on 295 southbound, Butler to Bay Meadows. Just under 20 on 295 northbound, 95 to Bay Meadows. It's a 25-minute ride, 95 southbound, 10 to Butler. And Butler westbound, 295 to 95. That's under 25 miles an hour there. Chance of rain continues in the forecast. 72 the low tonight, 88 on Friday, 85 Saturday. Sun on Sunday, high of 83.
Okay, welcome back. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. You don't want to miss the second half of our show here about unity among Christians and what the Pope and the Lutherans and Methodists have done to ignite enthusiasm among all of us here. Oh, happy days. We're coming back with this song. We'll get right into more about Tony Palmer here in just a second. Okay, that's Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir singing Oh Happy Days. We love that song. Again, we've been featuring Bishop Tony Palmer. Again, born, raised South Africa, came to Christ in the early 20s, and really enthusiastic. Wife is Italian. Eventually, he just told a story, if you missed it, in the second clip that we played about meeting the Pope before he was the Pope in Argentina, because he spent 8 years in Argentina as a missionary and really part of the Catholic Church there too, an evangelical, charismatic, and Pentecostal within the Catholic Church. In fact, what happened is that Pope Benedict had said, we want to evangelize, we want charismatics to be the hope of our church. And he said, we want to evangelize from within among the Catholic Church. But again, it's about unity, justification. Again, in 1995, Pope Benedict and the Lutheran head of the Lutheran Church signed an agreement and really then essentially said that Luther was correct, that it was not about works, which the Catholic Church has emphasized. Coming to Christ was really about faith in Christ, and the grace of Christ is what gets us to heaven and gets us in and productive in life and really leading by the Holy Spirit. But that obviously the whole idea is to still do works to prove our faith, as the scripture calls us to do. But anyway, it's pretty neat here. Let's listen to Tony Palmer talking more about the Pope. We're not going to play the video that he did with the Pope because it's in Italian for the most part. You can find it on the internet if you want, and they translate it there. He doesn't say a lot. I'll summarize some of what he says, but let's go ahead and listen again to Tony Palmer again. Picking
up. So tonight, the Pope, it's a historic moment. Because I've served three popes, because I started working with them when John Paul was still alive, and then Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis. And, you know, Pope Francis, St. Francis of Assisi, was an open charismatic. This is the first pope in history that took the Francis's name, because he's openly charismatic. And this is history that we've got a pope who recognizes us as brothers and sisters, speaks to us as brothers and sisters, and has sent a message to us, and you'll see what the message is about. And I need you to at least understand a little bit of the history behind this, because we are living in an incredibly important generation. I believe that God has brought me here to this year's Ministers' Conference in the spirit of Elijah. Let me explain. If you look carefully, the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist to turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, to prepare the way for the Lord. And we know that prophecy always has a double fulfillment. And we know that Elijah will come before the second coming as well. And I've understood that the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of reconciliation, to return hearts to each other. This is very important. We know that the first 1,000 years there was one church, it was called the Catholic Church, and the word Catholic means universal, it doesn't mean Roman. Catholic means, if you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. You're a Catholic. Take back, redeem what belongs to you. We are Catholics. And then there was the split at the end of the first millennium. We had the Orthodox, East and West, two churches. Then 500 years later, we have Luther and his protest. Three churches in 1,500 years. Three denominations, not three churches. And then from Luther's protest onwards, 33,000 new denominations. I've come to understand that diversity is divine. It's division that's diabolic. It's true what you were saying about the glory. I agree with you, of course it's true. The glory that the Father had, he gave to Jesus. The glory was the presence of God. What is the charismatic renewal? It's when we experience the presence of God. And he said, and I give them the glory, pragmatic reason, so that they may be one. It's the glory that glues us together, not the doctrines. It's the glory. If you accept that Christ is living in me and the presence of God is in me and the presence of God is in you, that's all we need. Because God will sort out all our doctrines when we get upstairs. Therefore, Christian unity is the basis of our credibility, because Jesus said, until they are one, they will not believe. The world will not believe, as they should, until we are one. Division destroys our credibility. It is fear that keeps us separated, because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, because most of your fear is based on propaganda. Now, why is it historic? Because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. Luther believed that we were saved by grace through faith alone. Amen. But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were saved by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, they wrote this together. Because in the Protestant Church, we had a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. And because we didn't even look for fruit, it wasn't the issue. Because it wasn't necessary for salvation. And no, it's not. But it's a good judge if you are saved. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together we, Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works. This brought an end to the protest of Luther. Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours. In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. Later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement. But as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelical that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace through faith to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed. There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years.
Amazing story, isn't it? Amazing, really. It's the protest has been over for 15 years. 1999, this agreement was signed. Again, Pope Benedict and the head of the Lutheran Church. The protest is over. Martin Luther's protest has been resolved. The Catholics agree with the Protestants. The Protestants now agree with the Catholics. We have a statement that really brings us together. Reconciliation. We need reconciliation as much as we need evangelization. And we need, in other words, we need reconciliation among us as Christians as much as we need to go out and spread the gospel to others. He did a little video with the Pope. And again, I said earlier, it was done in Italian. And so we didn't play it. So most of us don't speak Italian on the radio anyway. So again, this is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. And this is about unifying the church, the Catholics and the Protestants, coming to agreement, reconciliation, justification. It's on the website of the Vatican. The Pope basically said that we're all sinners and we must share in the way that we were separated, but we must find a way to be in unity and evangelizing, you know, charismatic movement. They said earlier, even the Pope, Benedict said earlier through what Tony Palmer said, that the charismatic movement is the hope of the Catholic Church, and we must evangelize within the church to light the fire, to light the Holy Spirit among all of us that are Catholics. And in the word universal means that all denominations would be Catholic, in that sense, all Christian denominations, in terms of unity, because that's what Catholicism or Catholic means. It means universal. So the Pope also said, we've got to speak from the heart, and we're all brothers and sisters together. And this is deep on his heart. You can tell if you know anything about the Pope, that this is the kind of message that he would bring forward, because he could tell by what we've seen in the media, he has a tender heart. And of course, he's been to many nations and he really wants to be a rallying point for Christ around the world and bring us together, which is a blessing, you know. Again, this is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're sponsored today again by Murray Hill Theater and Tony Nezzarella. We're going to take a short story about Tony's and tell you about their event that's coming up on Friday night. You don't want to miss it. Let's listen to Tony's story. Okay, this is John Beaner. I'm here with Tony Nezzarella, the founder of Murray Hill Theater. Tony, thanks for being the sponsor of our show today. I know you have a dynamic story to tell about Murray Hill and how it all came together. Can you share some of that with our listeners?
Well, sure. And thanks for having me, John. It's a pleasure to be here. The Murray Hill Theater is what some people call a Christian nightclub. That's not a perfect description, but we are a nightclub that brings in Christian artists and positive bands and faith-based bands, and it is a live music venue that is all ages. It is alcohol-free, drug-free, smoke-free, and again, we only bring in positive bands. And our mission, our vision is to give the youth and the young adults especially, but also adults, an alternative to the nightclub and the bar scene. So we provide a venue that brings in national, even international, regional, and local bands pretty much every Friday and Saturday night. And we give youth and young adults a place to gather and have fun without drugs and alcohol, hearing positive and Christian music. And we are in our 21st year, and it's a nonprofit organization. I'm a volunteer there, and it's been an awesome thing. It's really been cool.
Well, not only a volunteer, obviously you started the whole thing. I think you earlier had a vision from God about a coffee house, right?
Yeah, the idea came from a coffee house that really ministered to me as a young man when I made a commitment to my faith. I was trying to get out of the kind of the heavy drinking, partying scene, and I found a little coffee house that brought in Christian bands, and that ministry really helped me out as a young man. And then I left for college and worked in Chicago for a couple of years, and I came back to Jacksonville, and I felt like God said, you know, that place was really cool, and I always thought somebody ought to do something like that, and I felt like God said, well, I think you ought to do something like that. So it came from a calling from God.
That's right. He was planting seeds on you, and then he was finally saying, yep, it's your job to get it done. I know how that is, but that's exciting. Now, kids get a lot of support there, a lot of love. Counselors, you've got lots of volunteers involved. You organize, you bring these bands from all over the country in,
yep,
and even local bands, too, you use
local
once in a while.
Local bands, too, yep. And part of our mission is to be involved in what we call relational ministry. So when people come and hear music, we just like to get to know them, get to learn about them, and just we try to let them know that we believe Jesus is alive and real and wants to have a relationship with them. We don't get real pushy or aggressive with that. We just kind of throw it out there and let them know that there is hope in God, and we've had a tremendous impact on a lot of young adults.
It's been
a very fruitful organization.
Well, it's been a privilege for me to serve on the board many years. And again, tell us about the new event that's coming up on May 20th.
Well, we are doing a fundraising event for Murray Hill Theater. We are a nonprofit, 501c3. And so on May 20th, it's a Friday night, we're bringing in Tiana Jones. And Tiana Jones is actually from Jacksonville, but she was made famous last year when she came in number 3 on American Idol.
Yeah.
And she's a young lady who has a very dynamic voice, very exciting, and just a great artist. So we're pleased that she agreed to be our featured artist for our fundraising concert. We're going to have VIP tickets that will let you in early and get a behind the scenes, an inside look at what goes on before a show, and you'll get to meet the artist. And it's going to be a great night on May 20th as a fundraiser for Murray Hill Theater.
Thank you again, Tony. Thanks for being here and being our sponsor for Inspiration 316.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I've done all right up till now. It's the light of day that shows me how. And when the night falls, my loneliness calls. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody.
Again, that's Tiana Jones. She's going to be Friday night. You don't want to miss her. You can go to murrayhilltheater.com, murrayhilltheater.com. Get some tickets, VIP. Get to meet her personally. Have some hors d'oeuvres there together. A great time. And then also the concert's at 8 o'clock. You'll get concert tickets if you sign up for VIP as well. But if you don't want to do that, you can just go to the concert. So I hope to see you there on Friday night. Again, what's happening, we're talking about unity in the body of Christ, Christians coming together. This is John Beaner again with Inspiration 316. We had Tony Palmer, Bishop, and the Catholic Church, and again about the fact that the Pope in 1999 signed an agreement with the Lutheran Church, which ended Luther's protest, so that we should be in unity. And that's what the Catholic Church would like to work towards, especially Pope Francis now, who's inspired by this message, and as well as the many Protestants are as well. And now it's a question of us getting on board together within the church of the Catholic Church and within the movement of the Protestants, the Charismatics, the Pentecostals, all of us together in what God has got planned. And you know what's exciting is God is moving around the world. I love the stories that we've shared about what's happening in China. Let's listen to a little outtake from Fox News on this whole thing about what's happening in China.
When it comes to religion in China, Christianity is booming. Christian churches, once taboo in the communist country, now have reportedly about 70 million members. So is China on its way to accommodating religious beliefs? Joining me now is the former executive director of the Christian Coalition, Ralph Reed. Hi there, Ralph. Communist country. Thank you. Fine. Thank you. Communist country has atheism as its sort of official policy, if you will. But now they have an official Christian church. How did this all happen?
Well, China has always been something of a paradox and a riddle for Americans. I mean, it's an officially communist country that is increasingly embracing capitalism and free enterprise. It is, as you said, an officially atheist country that has arguably one of the most robust churches anywhere in the world. You mentioned the figure of 70 million Christians in China. Some figures go as high as 130 million. And I think what we're really seeing, Heather, and the Olympics are really putting a spotlight on it, you cannot put the genie back in the bottle once you allow some measure of any kind of liberty. And when you allow cultural exchanges, and we have hundreds of thousands of Chinese students who have come here and then gone back home, there's an exchange of ideas, there's an exchange of democratic values, the internet is exploding, and Christianity is part of that flowering of liberty that I don't think the communist government is going to be able to snuff out.
Right. Well, there are two levels of churches there, if you will. There's the official church, where the pastors are sanctioned by the government, but then there's this whole system of underground churches, and that's believed to be bigger than the members of the official church.
No question about it. And President Bush, who, as you know, gave a very tough speech this week in Thailand, really calling the Chinese government to task, calling on them to respect the striving that is in every person's soul to worship God as he or she understands him to be. He had requested to be able to worship at a house church. Mm. There are some estimates that there are as many 25 million people to 50 million people in these home churches. And it was unfortunate that he was denied that opportunity. But if you talk to anybody who's gone to China, whether as a missionary or a business person or on a cultural exchange, they will tell you, Heather, that particularly in the rural parts of China, the church is literally exploding, and it's in many ways exploding in the open.
But, Ralph, it's important to point out that some of these underground churches, the men and women who lead those churches are sometimes apparently harassed, sometimes they're arrested. What is that all about?
Well, there's no question about the fact that the Chinese government is extremely worried about where this leads. They worry about a religion displacing the communist ideology, which I think it is. And that's why it's so important for the United States to continually, repeatedly, press the Chinese on respect for human rights, democratic values, religious freedom, and the dreaded and inhumane one-child policy. So I see good signs, but our government has got to keep the heat on. We have a very complex and complicated relationship with China. I don't believe in isolationism, but I think we need to engage them.
Okay, Ralph Reed, thank you, former executive director of the Christian Coalition. Thanks for helping us take a look at all the stuff that's surrounding the Olympics, which includes religion.
I just used that outtake because, to me, it's another example. There's so many things happening around the world that the signs are that we are coming together as Christians. God is preparing our hearts. I want to thank Bob Williamson and Brian Hickok. They head up the Jesus Alliance. They brought this to our attention about Bishop Tony Palmer and the whole movement with Pope Francis now trying to bring unity among Protestants and Catholics. And again, a really charismatic movement within the Catholic Church. It's exciting to see what God is doing. Well, hey, this is just a drop in the bucket, the Muslim movement and what's happened in the Middle East. You know, you can say all you want about America going to Iraq in the war there and taking out Saddam Hussein. The truth of the matter is it's breaking up the Middle East. It's really even the change in the oil prices. It's all about God moving on people's hearts. And the number of Muslims coming to Christ is phenomenal. It's probably the most predominant thing I've ever seen on YouTube in terms of the number of testimonies of Muslims coming to Christ, having dreams of knowing Christ, entering their room, seeing pictures, seeing vividness, seeing the light of God through Jesus Christ in their room. It's exciting, folks. Hey, it's happening in South America. I got a good friend who's going down to speak in Brazil at a big conference talking about it. It's happening in Russia. Go to nations here based in Jacksonville is all around the world. They've had incredible things happening in Indonesia and Central America. Again, Haiti, you've got Dominican Republic, you've got the Philippines, you've got Australia, you've got India. East West Ministries is also out of Dallas. Again, Bud Toole, who's a great friend of ours, has been very active in that and really spreading that around the world. Hope International, Jeff Rutt out of Pennsylvania, we've had to speak here locally at our Wise Counsel boot camps. Again, this is John Beaner, Inspiration 316, and Jeff has got over $50 to $60 million invested around the world in micro loans in little cities and little towns. And again, he's got over 1,000 employees that basically are chaplains working with these micro loans. 95% of the loans were paid back, and the loans may be $50. It may be as high as $300 because, again, the value of the dollar is so much higher compared to their own currencies in these countries around the world. God is helping women and men start little businesses on their huts and their homes and their cities and coming to Christ through the process in a real ministry and a fellowship and a group. God is moving amazingly throughout the world, drawing us together. He's doing things that we don't all know about, obviously. But there's with the mass media and the internet today, we can find out so much more, so much faster. Again, this is John Beaner. You've been listening to Inspiration 316. And we're thankful that you've joined us because, again, God is moving throughout the world, drawing us together. I challenge you to go to the internet, put in there Bishop Tony Palmer and Pope Francis. You'll have a number of videos come up and some of the ones that we used here today. The whole idea is to learn and grow about what God wants to do in unifying the church, the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches together. And again, this is an exciting time to live in. I'm glad that I was born when I was born. I'm glad to be maturing now, getting a little wiser, a little smarter. And I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. I pray that you'll feel the same way. You have the same enthusiasm that I have. Again, John Beaner with Inspiration 316. Hey, we're going to be going on to next week. We're going to Richmond and we're going to Norfolk, Virginia. They're going to put the show on up in those areas as well. Thanks for joining us again. We're on The Truth 91.7 Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow. Exciting stuff.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.